You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Michael Piotrasch. Welcome to another recording of articles from Popular Science magazine, a presentation of Airs LA. This week's articles include, at 1 minute, Air New Zealand tests a new generation of electric planes. At 4 minutes, 52 seconds, who built Scandinavia's oldest wooden plank boat? An ancient fingerprint offers clues. And finally, at 11 minutes, 13 seconds, Neanderthals harnessed fire 350,000 years earlier than previously thought. Let's get to it. This first article is from the Technology Aviation section and is entitled, Air New Zealand Gets a New Generation of Electric Planes, written by Andrew Paul, published December 8, 2025. Battery and hydrogen-powered aircraft are cleared for takeoff. This article begins with a photo, an electric plane flying over green mountains. Its caption reads, the Alia CX-300 can carry around 200 cubic feet of cargo on medium-distance flights. Air New Zealand has cleared its runways to test both all-electric and hydrogen-powered planes. Although in its early stages, the 4-month intensive proving program may help one day usher in a new era of sustainable flight. Aircraft remains some of the biggest sources of vehicle-based pollution in the world. These types of pollution include greenhouse gas emissions like carbon dioxide, as well as other toxic byproducts such as sulfur oxides and contrails. Given the ubiquity of both commercial and private air travel today, it's vital that companies engineer better plane technology for a more sustainable future. Unfortunately, possible alternatives such as rechargeable, emissionless battery electric arrays and hydrogen fueling still need improvement before they become economically viable. However, these advancements are on the horizon with projects like Air New Zealand trials. In November, the nation's flag carrier airliner started overseeing small cargo flights using an Alia CX-300. Engineered by the United States-based company Beta Technologies, the CX-300 is an electric conventional takeoff and landing vehicle designed to be compatible with existing airport infrastructures. A two-pilot Alia CX-300 uses 65-kilowatt chargers that enable it to recharge in around 90 minutes, allowing for daily operations on multiple routes. While it's much smaller than today's cargo planes, it can still carry around 200 cubic feet of cargo on nearly 250-mile-long trips. That might not seem like too far, but that's plenty of distance for much of New Zealand air travel. Quote, 60% of regional flights in New Zealand are less than 350 kilometers, 217 miles, and around 85% of our electricity is renewable, unquote, Air New Zealand CEO Nikhil Ravishankar said in a statement. Ravishankar believes this makes the country a, quote, perfect laboratory for next-generation aircraft, unquote. Aside from the all-electric test program, a consortium of engineering and aircraft companies are developing and testing a new kind of hydrogen fuel tank. Once considered cost-prohibitive, hydrogen fuel planes are showing increasing promise as another possible replacement for at least some fossil fuel aircraft. These will be trialed at Christchurch Airport on New Zealand's South Island. Quote, by bringing all the elements together for the first time on site at an international airport, producing, storing, and dispensing liquid hydrogen into composite aviation tanks as fuel, we're proving that liquid hydrogen technologies for aircraft are now available and that hydrogen electric flight will soon be a reality, unquote, said Christopher Boyle, Managing Director for the engineering group, Fabrum. This next article is from the Science Archaeology section and is entitled, Who Built Scandinavia's Oldest Wooden Plank Boat? An Ancient Fingerprint Offers Clues, written by Laura Baeses, published December 10, 2025. Archaeologists are closer to solving the Hjortspring boat's mysteries. This article begins with a photo. A wooden boat on display in a dark museum exhibit. Its caption reads, "The Hjortspring boat as it is currently displayed at the National Museum of Denmark." Archaeologists examining an ancient boat discovered in Denmark over a century ago are getting some help from a clue usually associated with crime scenes. A human fingerprint left on the Hjortspring boat brings archaeologists closer to figuring out which ancient European group sailed on this 2,400-year-old boat. The findings are detailed in a study published today in the journal PLOS-1 and are helping scientists understand where shipbuilders of the oldest plank-built vessel in Northern Europe may have come from. Quote, "Finding a fingerprint on the tar fragments from the boat was a big surprise for us. Fingerprints like this one are extremely unusual for this time period," unquote, the study's authors wrote in a statement. There is an additional photo, a 3D model by Richard Potter. Its caption reads, "Comparison of Hjortspring boat with securely dated Bronze Age art, Rorby sword and Sagaholm rock art, as well as an example of early Iron Age art from Brastad. Thousands of other examples of Bronze Age boat depictions exist. Note the continuity in form and design evident in these different boat depictions." What is the Hjortspring boat? The Hjortspring boat is considered Northern Europe's oldest known plank-built vessel. At about 65 feet long and over 1,000 pounds, it could carry 24 people along with their weapons and other gear. Builders used lime wood to add flexibility to the boat and made the paddles from maple trees. According to the National Museum of Denmark, the Hjortspring boat is evidence of shipbuilding with roots dating back to at least the Bronze Age, roughly 3300 BCE to 1200 BCE. Quote, "The boat was used by a small army of invaders who attacked the island of Als in southern Denmark over 2,000 years ago," unquote, the team wrote. Quote, "The invaders were defeated and the local defenders sunk the boat into a bog as an offering to give thanks for their victory," unquote. The boat was first excavated in a bog on the Danish island Als in the early 1920s and has remained a mystery ever since. Archaeologists have not previously determined where these warriors came from and when. Quote, "The boat was excavated before modern dating methods were available, and most of the material from the boat was immediately conserved using chemicals that make radiocarbon dating impossible," unquote, said the team. Quote, "Going through the archives, however, we were able to find some original cordage that had not been conserved," unquote. There is a video. Its caption reads, "Fingerprint of ancient seafarer found on Scandinavia's oldest plank boat." Pine pitch and prints. In this new study, a team from Lund University in Sweden searched for more clues about the boat's origins. Over the past 100 years, several boat origin theories have been proposed, namely that the invaders came from northern Germany or a different part of present-day Denmark. Quote, "The weapons they used, which were found in the boat, were quite common for the time and were used throughout Northern Europe, giving us few instructions as to their origins," unquote, the authors said. The team carbon dated and analyzed some previously unstudied caulking and cord materials found with the boat. The caulk used to seal the boat was likely made up of a mixture of pine pitch and animal fat. According to the team, that pine pitch is the first major new clue in over a century. When the boat was built, Denmark itself had few pine forests. While it is possible that the pine pitch made its way to Denmark via trade, other coastal areas east of Denmark along the Baltic Sea did have pine forests. There is an additional photo. Its caption reads, "Photo of caulking fragment showing fingerprint on the left and high-resolution X-ray tomography scan of fingerprint region on the right." The team believes that it is possible that the boat may have been built here and its warriors came to Als from the east. If true, the boat sailed over the open ocean to reach southern Denmark. Traveling such a long distance potentially indicates that the attack was well organized and premeditated. Based on carbon dating the cords and caulk, the boat was likely built somewhere between 381 and 161 BCE, confirming that the boat was built in the pre-Roman Iron Age. This timeline also lines up with earlier estimates of the wood from the Hjortspring site. However, there was one other clue of note. The partial human fingerprint in the caulking material used to waterproof the boat. While they could not determine exactly who left it the way that modern fingerprint analysis can, it likely was left by one of the crew members of the vessel, quote, providing a direct link to the seafarers of the ancient vessel, unquote. With pine pitch clues and now some fingerprints, we're inching closer to solving this Iron Age boat mystery. This final article is from the Science, Biology, Evolution section and is entitled, Neanderthals Harnessed Fire 350,000 Years Earlier Than Previously Thought. Written by Andrew Paul, published December 10, 2025. This is the most remarkable discovery of my career. This article begins with a photo. Its caption reads, An Artist's Impression of Sparks from Flint and Pyrite. Evidence uncovered in a field in Suffolk, England, indicates that ancient humans intentionally harnessed fire more than 350,000 years earlier than previously believed. According to a British Museum-led study published on December 10 in the journal Nature, our Paleolithic Neanderthal ancestors utilized technology like hearths and campfires as much as 400,000 years ago. Quote, the implications are enormous, unquote, British Museum project curator and study co-author Rob Davis said in a statement. Quote, the ability to create and control fire is one of the most important turning points in human history, with practical and social benefits that changed human evolution, unquote. There is an additional photo. Its caption reads, Excavation of the ancient campfire, removing diagonally opposed quadrants. The reddened sediment between band B is heated clay. The evolution of intentional fire use. Early hominins first started utilizing fire over 1 million years ago, but the instances were sporadic and subject to the environment around them. Without knowing how to create sparks using flint and stone materials, our forebears likely relied on leveraging wildfires and other small flames created by natural events like lightning strikes. This has made it difficult to find evidence of early fires and determine when early humans made the leap from opportunistic to intentional flame wielders. Quote, archaeological evidence for early fire use is limited and often ambiguous, typically consisting of associations between heated materials and stone tools, unquote, the study's authors wrote. Nevertheless, understanding when and where this transition first occurred around the world is vital to seeing the bigger picture of human evolution. Producing fire at will would have necessitated social coordination and more complex divisions of labor within hominin communities. Sustained warmth would have improved survival rates, while also providing a way to craft stronger, more resilient tools. Meanwhile, cooked food was easier to digest and more nutritious, freeing crucial calories from the gut to fuel brain power. Simply put, the first humans to figure out fire flourished while their evolutionary competitors fell by the wayside. In 2018, paleoanthropologists presented the first evidence of intentional fire-making by Neanderthals around 40,000 years ago, uncovered at sites in northern France. But after decades of intermittent excavation work at a location known as the Barnum site in southern England, British Museum researchers say they are confident the timeline can be pushed back much, much further. There is a third photo, a close-up of a flint hand axe blade. Iron pyrite's potential. The team on this new study used geochemical analysis to confirm the location's heated clay remnants weren't the results of wildfires. Instead, the artifacts were created after exposure to temperatures over 1,292 degrees Fahrenheit, 700 degrees Celsius, through repeated fire use at the same location. This suggests that local early humans worked at a campfire or hearth on multiple occasions to manufacture their flint axes. Further evidence comes from the iron pyrite uncovered at the site. The naturally occurring mineral creates sparks when struck against flint to make tinder. However, iron pyrite is not common to southern England. The team believes that the area's hominins, who understood pyrite's utility, sourced it elsewhere before bringing it to the Barnum site. Although archaeologists have not recovered any hominin remains at Barnum, researchers believe the residents were probably early Neanderthals based on similarly aged fossil morphology taken from Swanscombe in Kent, about 100 miles south of the Barnum site, and at the Atapuerca site in northern Spain. Quote, "It's incredible that some of the oldest groups of Neanderthals had the knowledge of the properties of flint, pyrite, and tinder at such an early date," unquote, said British Museum Paleolithic Collections curator and study co-author Nick Ashton. Quote, "This is the most remarkable discovery of my career, and I'm very proud of the teamwork that it has taken to reach this groundbreaking conclusion," unquote. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's material from Popular Science magazine. I'm Michael Piotrasch, and I'll be back soon with more interesting articles. Thank you for listening.